is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And we're going to do just a small analysis of the things we face from day to day and how the prescription of what the Lord has given us of how to go about this thing that we call spiritual warfare. There have been a, I will say, a lot of, I don't know whether to say, to call it a misconception, but there's been a lot that has been said about spiritual warfare. But when I take a look at the Word of God, there are certain steps. Sister Bilkisu, sorry. It's good to see you. Good morning. There are certain steps that the I see in the Word of God over and over again that I believe that in our modern day Christianity, we are missing some of those steps. Well, I don't know whether you guys know me very well. You know me very well. When it comes to Christianity, I am very much about the word. And also, I take a step back to see what some of the church fathers, some of what I call dead authors, what they say about certain topics. People we have read about their lives that have laid that have laid solid footprints for our generations to follow. And in some of those footprints, there are certain things that I hear about their own lives and how they go about their Christianity that I don't see a lot of those things in our modern day Christianity. And I'm trying to recapture some of the things that they did, which made them successful Christians. And like I said last week, for me, it's a challenge that it's not only reading about these people, but what they apprehended. As Paul said, that I may apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. I want to apprehend the same thing. I want to know God in the same way. So it's not only reading that Paul went somewhere and did miracles. How did he do it? How did he get there? What is stopping our own generation from getting there? In the world today, we talk about the church losing, there's this banner poll or one study or another that they say that the youth are leaving the church, the people are leaving the churches nowadays. And I ask myself the question, why? And one thing I have seen consistently about why there has been so much decimation of the church in our day is a lack of the power, demonstrated power of God, which is part of what I want us to take a look at today. There was a demonstrable power that they had in those days that I don't see as much of in our day. When I was in college, I came to Christ in my penultimate year in university. And I would remember very well at that time, because at that time I was, there was a dichotomy. There was a separation of those we call Christians from those who we call the party boys. I was one of the party boys at that time. I was one of the party boys. But Christ captured me. I was on campus. If it was an insult for anybody to call you, we used to use a derogatory term for the Christians back then, we called them SUs. There was this special Scripture Union. They were serious Christians. They were solid Christians. So for anybody to call you SU, and you have been a party boy, it was a demotion. And so, but nowadays, what I see is everybody is just everything mixed together. You know, the world is practicing, the church is trying to do the practice of the world is trying to be as holy as the church. You know, so there is no delineation. And so what we see is a lack of demonstrable power within the church. You know, I myself, when we began a few years ago to thirst and pray for a revival within the church, I asked God one question, that, Lord, do you still save as you used to? For many months, God didn't say anything until I took some time to wait on the Lord. And the Lord answered that question in a big way. And I knew that, yes, God hasn't changed. If anything, we are the ones that have stopped thirsting. We are the ones that are no longer hungry enough to lay a hold upon the power that God has given by his Spirit to his church. And God made me understand something. What he said, that whoever thirsts, he will pour water on them. Whoever asks for the Spirit, he will give unto them. It's not a suggestion. He meant it. So when God says that we should ask for the Spirit, he said that he will give those who ask. God made me understand that he meant it. The only reason why we do not see the things that we read in the Bible any longer is that we, as Christians, we are no longer hungry. We are no longer hungry. David says something, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so does my soul pant after you. We've got to come to the place where we begin to desire, Lord, you still do these things. How can I come to this place where I can be used of you in this way? How can I come to this place of intimacy with you? Because, brothers and sisters, there's a place of intimacy with God that is sweet. That is sweet. When you get into that place, time will be of no consequence. But we don't experience it as much any longer. And I mean it, time is as if time folds. When you are still trying to get there, you know, to seek God for 30 minutes might be an ordeal. When you see somebody say, I was in God's presence for an hour, you say, how? Me, after 15 minutes, I'm already tired. But when, by God's, and sometimes, not sometimes, every time, you have to pray, Lord, I desire it. Grant me the grace to know you in this special way. Now, when we begin to know God in this special way, you see what I'm going to talk about today, about the battle being the Lord's, we will begin to see God win us victories like we have never seen it before. And I will tell you why. I will tell you why. Let's open our Bibles. Brother Peter read from Ephesians chapter 6 for us today. Let's start from there. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll start from verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? We don't wrestle when our wrestling. So for us to say that we have some things we contend with that is not flesh and blood, for us to say that we have come into a place of wrestling with something, anything that is not flesh and blood, then is what? Is spirit. Thank you. So anything that is not, because everything has to inhabit one form or the other. You are either material or you are spirit. If you are material, you are flesh and blood. If you are not flesh and blood, that means you are spirit. So Paul is saying here to the Ephesians that our wrestling is not with flesh and blood. Now, whether we like it or not, this spirit that we wrestle against, the moment you say that you become a Christian, the wrestling starts and never stops. You might have seasons of reprieve, but there's no demilitarized zone. Sister Belkisu will know that very well. There's nothing called a demilitarized zone. You might have times when the enemy doesn't attack as much, but at those times, you as a Christian reinforce, because the attacks of the enemy for you to wrestle, it will come again and again. Remember in the Bible, when Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil in the wilderness, after the devil tempted him and he gave his word to the enemy, the Bible says that the enemy left him for what? Thank you. Left him for a season. Because those temptations for the time he was on earth never stopped. Because we didn't read of it constantly again doesn't mean that he wasn't there. He left him for a season. And as long as you bear the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a target for the enemy. And I say this because the enemy comes in different ways, in different aspects of our lives. Sometimes he will come for our marriages. You will just see that you and your spouse, there's just something that is a thorn within both of you. It's a problem within both of you. And when you try to distill it down and down and down, you will see that the issue might be something trivial. Just by talking or by understanding, just by somebody, one of you keeping quiet, the problem will be over. But believe me, when the devil comes, it doesn't come as flesh and blood, but you will begin to see your own spouse as the devil. You will begin to see your own spouse as the devil, and you will begin to say, all the problems I have is because of this man or because of this woman. Sometimes the devil comes in our children. We have to pray. Sometimes the devil will come attacking our parents. Sometimes it's on our jobs. Sometimes it's our neighbors. I was watching a YouTube clip a few years ago. Do you know what happened? This neighbor packed snow and put it on the curb in front of another neighbor's house. And I think the problem had been for very long. The neighbor that they packed snow in front of his house went back into his house, took a gun, and shot husband and wife. All because of what? Snow. Snow. So the devil can come in any form. That is why the Bible sometimes says that, look, a soft answer, it turns away wrath. It's not only outside, it's inside, it's everywhere. May the Lord teach us all these things we're talking about. Now, so we know that we wrestle not against, that wrestling will come. Jola, you've just graduated. You might think you have no problems in life. Oh. But You see this job situation, God will teach you how to pray. You begin to see, you've been seeing it. So there are many things, because you will begin to ask yourself, is there something with me? I went to school. Why is there no job? But God has his own time. So it is not daddy and mommy alone that are facing these things. You too, you are getting there. You are getting there. Okay. Now, it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's stop there. Now, let's go into the Old Testament. I want to show you a story about one of the kings of Israel. Let's open to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And I'll read about this king called Jehoshaphat. And I want to look at the lives of two kings and point out some things in their lives. Are we there? Are we there? Okay. Sister Jackie, do you want to read for me? Oh, I have to move. So, Sir Jackie, just read the first three verses.
Okay. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Midianites came to make war on
Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in En-Gedi. Alarm Jehoshaphat's resolve to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah."
Thank you. Just stop there. So it says that, does anybody remember who the Moabites and the Ammonites, who they are? Who did they descend from? From Lot. And how were Ammon and Moab born? Okay. The Lot had just left Sodom and Gomorrah. And his daughters did something with their father that brought about Ammon and Moab. So the Ammonites and the Moabites, they were one of the very few people in the Bible that God cursed as a people. God cursed them. And these people were perennial enemies of Israel. And here, they brought a vast army against Judah. And Jehoshaphat was the king. And the first thing, note it please, the first thing that Jehoshaphat did, the Bible says Jehoshaphat did what? He feared and set himself to seek the face of the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout Judah. So when battles come, it doesn't mean that there is no fear. You can be afraid. Let nobody tell you that, oh, if you're afraid, then you don't have faith in God. No, you can be afraid. It is where you turn to that matters, that shows whether you truly have faith in God or not. The first thing that Jehoshaphat did was that he sought the face of the Lord and declared a fast in the whole of Israel. In the whole of Judah. Okay, now let's go to verse 14. And I'd like my wife to please read.
Mm-hmm. Verse 14.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord, okay, my version, I'll start from 13 because it's in the middle of a sentence. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout.
Thank you. So you see what happened here. In the first few verses, the news had come that there's a great and mighty army that has come to pretty much besiege Judah. And Jehoshaphat, the first thing he did was to seek the face of the Lord, declare the fast. And the Lord now brought his own word to Jehoshaphat by a man called Jahaziel. The Spirit of the Lord entered Jahaziel and spoke to Jehoshaphat. What did he say? Don't be afraid or discouraged by reason of what? This great multitude. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when the enemy comes, by virtue of what we face, by virtue of the things we come against, it can be very, very discouraging. Because the first question you ask, what will I do? Where will I turn to? Many of us in this church, we have had experiences where we've had to ask, where do I turn to? I remember one of my own experiences in the year, was it 2018? When, no, it wasn't 2018, it was 2000. When did we buy the house? 2015, thank you. I'm not growing old, Mr. Shade. 2015, we had just bought a house. We bought a house in November. We moved in November. And in February of 2017, I lost my job. And the question was, how are we going to pay for this house? Don't let me bore you with the details. We're still in the same house today. What God has done, it's been marvelous in our eyes. It didn't mean that there was no fear of. You know, when you hear some news and you first of all go to the bathroom to settle down, and then you come back, and then what shall we do? So, the first thing that Jehoshaphat did, because this wasn't a small army, it was a great multitude. It was a great multitude. He turned his eyes to the Lord, and the Lord brought his word. Please note that thing. The Lord brought his word to Jehoshaphat. Now, I say note it because one of the things that we miss today when we face battles is to ask ourselves, What has the Lord said? And I say this because it's in modern day Christianity that we seek God, but we never ask, what has God said? And I know that the God we have, he does speak if we are patient enough and willing enough to listen to hear what he has said. Now, let me give you another account. Let's open to 2 Kings. 2 Kings 19. While our thumb is in the story of Jehoshaphat, let's go to 2 Kings. Just go back a few chapters. Two books back, you'll get to 2 Kings. 2 Kings 19. Please give the mic to Sister Kemi to read one more time. And when you have some time, you can read from 18. But just to give you the setting in this 2 Kings was that the Assyrian army, another great army. Does anybody remember the Babylonian army? Babylon was one of the, you know, when we talk about Rome, the superpower of the America is a superpower today, right? We know of the power of America. Nobody will mess with America today. Back then, it was Rome. Before Rome, it was Babylon. It was Greece, the Middle Persians, and Babylon. Before Babylon, there was another great superpower. They were the Assyrians. And these Assyrians, they were a mighty army. And the king of Assyria had come, had done some damage to Israel already, and now came to this king called Hezekiah. Hezekiah was in the line of David. And the Bible says that Hezekiah walked in the line or in the path of David, his father. So we knew that this man was a righteous king. So let's start from verse 19, verse 1. Sister Kemi, please. Chapter 19, verse 1. 2 Kings 19 from verse 1.
When King Hezekiah heard their report, he tore his clothes and put on burlap and went into the temple of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priests, all dressed in burlap, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They told him, "This is what King Hezekiah says. Today is a day of trouble, insults, and disgrace."
Sorry, who did they send a message to? Isaiah. Who was Isaiah? He was a prophet. So they inquired of God. They inquired of God. God, what are you saying? So please go on.
"It is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. But perhaps the Lord your God has heard the Assyrian chief of staff sent by the king to defy the living God and will punish him for his words. Oh, pray for those of us who are left." After King Hezekiah's officials delivered the king's message to Isaiah, the prophet replied, "Say to your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be disturbed by this blasphemous speech against me from the Assyrian king's messengers. Listen, I myself will move against him, and the king will receive a message that he is needed at home. So he will return to his land, where I will have him killed with a sword."
Thank you. God gave his word because Hezekiah sought the word of the Lord. Lord, what are you saying about this situation? Before this, we read of David. There are times that an army will come. They will come, you know, destroy or disrupt Israel, Judah, and David will seek the Lord. Lord, should I pursue them? Should I do this or that? Now, in our modern day, we have been given the word of God to seek the mind of God concerning something. We have been given the Holy Spirit to speak in his church what he's saying about a situation. And believe me, brothers and sisters, we have experienced it before, not only today. We have experienced it before that in the place of prayer, we will know the mind of God because somebody will give us a counsel. Or somebody might have a dream concerning what we have been praying about. Or we just have this premonition that this is the way the Lord is leading concerning this situation. And we will say it, that this is what God is saying to us. This is, somebody might have a strong inclination about a particular verse in the word of God, that concerning this thing we are seeking God for, this is, I believe, is the mind of God concerning it. And when we have received the word of God like that, what do? We believe it. Because what God told Hezekiah, it came to happen. What God told Jehoshaphat, it came to happen. And you see, this is where faith, what we call faith, this is where now it becomes operative. Because once God has given his word, you cannot now doubt. You can't afford to doubt what God has said. Once God has given you the assurance, you can't afford to doubt him any longer. Because this really is where faith is needed. God has spoken. Do we believe it? Before the battle becomes the Lord's, before the battle becomes his own on our behalf, for him to give us the victory, the first thing is hearts that are turned towards him in repentance and in seeking him, knowing that, Lord, what I'm seeking for is not hand of flesh. I'm not looking for connection. I'm not looking for people who have power to deliver me. It is you that I come to first and foremost. It is you that I have turned to. And when you now turn to God, you give time, because God might not answer you immediately. God will answer you in his own time. But do you believe that God will give you his word? And when God gives you his word, can you have faith? You see, this is part of what I say about some of those old authors. I will read that when they've had the word of God, they will begin to tell people that this and this will happen. Even though they haven't seen it yet, too. They haven't seen it yet. And we all read the book of Rees Howells together in this church. If you don't remember, there was a particular time when Rees Howells had been praying for somebody who was crippled. And God told him that at this time, this person was going to be healed. And the person was still a cripple. And Rees Howells began to say to those in the church and around him, At this time, this person will be healed. And he began to say it. And indeed, it happened. Now, if we are afraid to proclaim the word of God because we think that God might not do it, we lack faith. And this is why I say, we need to now begin to look at, for God to say, the battle belongs to me. It's no longer yours. What steps do we take to make this a part of our lives? If we don't seek God to know his word, to know his mind, to know his heart concerning a thing, we will never hear what the word of the Lord is concerning it. And once God gives his word, if we do not believe that this word is true, we will never come into victory. Even in this church, I remember there was something that me and God, we had been talking about. Brother Peter's wife, Sister Kike, she came to me said, "Brother Bumi, I had a dream, and this was what I saw in that dream." And when she finished, I said, "Sister Kike, thank you." Because you know that I didn't tell this lady what me and God had been talking about. And that dream she had was exactly what God and I had been talking about. You know, you can't have any doubt about it, that this was the answer to what God had been telling me. So it does happen, brothers and sisters. It does happen. The question is that when God has spoken, will you take it, believe him, and act on what he has said? Because God does speak to his children. When he says he's a father, he's a real father. And we can come to that place where when God has spoken, we will know without a shadow of doubt that God has spoken. And you can stand on it and it will be done. But what we do in our modern day, we seek God. We seek God truly. But we're not patient enough to say, "God, are you seeing anything?" And many times we give up easily before we find what God has said or an answer to what this warfare is about. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But do we ever take time to peel the onion back to say, okay, what is behind this thing that is happening? What is God saying about it? And I give us these Old Testament stories, because even what Paul said, after we put on the whole armor, then he comes to that place in, what verse is it? Let's go back to Ephesians 6. After he's told us to stand, in verse 18, what does he say? He says, you pray with what? All manners of prayers and what? Please, what is supplication? Do you know you can beg God? That is exactly what it is. There's some prayer you request, supplication you beg. God, please deliver me. Deliver my parents. Deliver my child. God, this manager that has become a devil in my life, please. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. With prayers and all manner. And when we begin to seek the Lord that way, his word definitely can come. You will have, when God's word comes, you see, you will have an assurance and a peace that you cannot begin to say, "God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you." Have you seen the answer yet? No. But once God gives his word, brothers and sisters, is good enough as the answer you are seeking for. Because in his own time, it will come to pass if you don't doubt. If you don't, because when God has given his word, you cannot begin to say, did God talk? Did God say, is it true? No. You hold on to the word of God. You stand on the word of God. You stand on the word of God. So for your battle to become God's battle, you need to make God priority. Something I said, was it last week or a few weeks back? We cannot afford to seek God casually. We cannot afford to seek God casually. Because in these end times in which we live, things will, not may, will become more difficult. And those who trust in the Lord, they are the ones that will do exploits. Because the times we are living in, the times we are coming into, they will not be ordinary. All you guys know, Sister Folake just say, from the beginning of this year, what have we been seeing? Plane crash. How many of us, you know, normally we go back and forth. Me and my wife, we are praying more when we enter plane. No, we're praying more that, because we know it is not, we don't take it for granted. We know it is not automatic that you go back and forth, you know, the plane takes off and lands. Because you know what is happening. And these times in which we live, we need to know God more. We need to know God. Be patient enough to give God time to seek in his face. Lord, what are you saying? You are my Father. Please speak. Talk to me. Show us, Lord. And as we desire the mind of God, we need to begin to experience those things again where God speaks and we are happy. God, God has spoken. God has spoken. God has spoken. I know what God wants for this situation. And you can believe and have faith in him. Sometimes some of those experiences, you know, we look at it in the past that God has done, but we can begin to seek him again. That those experiences that we've had in the past, we don't leave it in the past. Paul said he doesn't look at the things that are past, but he presses on. And that is what we have to do. We have to press on in Christ to begin to experience in God in this way again. Okay, let's go forward. So, when we face our battles, where do we turn our face? We turn our face to God. We turn our faces to God to seek him, to hear from him. And then the fight becomes the Lord's, not ours. Last thing, when God had given his word, what did we hear Hezekiah and the Levites? What did they begin to do? Thank you. They began to praise God. Do you know how to praise God at home? Is your home full of praise? Or is it just grumbling at what you don't have? Do you know that God doesn't like people who grumble? Do you know that? God doesn't like people who grumble. Because when you grumble, what you are telling God is that, God, this thing you have given me is either I don't like it, it's not enough, you didn't do well for me. But when in the midst of a wrestle, a battle before you, you can learn to be a person who praises God. No, when you praise God, you are not looking at your situation, because the situation can still be dire. The situation can still be, I don't have, who will save me? But when God has spoken, you can begin to thank God and begin to praise him. And remember when the children of Israel, as they were about to get into the promised land, they came to a city called Jericho, a fortified city. What they mean by fortified in those days, a wall was built around the whole of the city. And they had to go through Jericho to get into Canaan, to get into the promised land. And God told them that what you are going to do here is that you are going to circle Jericho and you are going to praise me. And that was exactly what they did until the walls of Jericho fell down. We can experience that in our lives, in our families, in every sphere of our lives. Because this God of yesterday, he hasn't changed though. He hasn't changed. If anything, it is we who are the church that we are changing. Yesterday, I was listening to analysis of certain denominations, you know, My friend told me something that God has called us as Christians to be disciples of all nations. And we, in turn, have become people who divide ourselves into denominations. God has called us to make disciples. He said, what will I do? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Please, I said it before, God is the one that builds his church. No man can build the church of God. So when they say, which church do you go to? What should the answer be? Church of Christ, Church of God. Because that is the only church in heaven. Do you know, when the children of Israel, when they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness, if anybody asked them, which camp do you belong to? What answer do you think they will give? Do you think they will say, camp of Methuselah? Camp of, it's one camp, it's camp of God. It is one church. Paul said it, one baptism, one faith, one Lord. New Covenant Church is not in heaven. Ascension of God Church is not in heaven. Foursquare, Redeem, Covenant, whatever, God has one. He said, I will build my church. You can have members in your church. The question is that, do they belong to God's church? Let's go back. So, Sister Shadi, what was I talking about? Yes, I was trying to make a point now. Sister Kemi, please, what was I talking about? Yes, thank you. I was talking about grumbling. Now, God doesn't like grumbling. And he showed the children of Israel that I don't like grumbling. When you begin to praise God, there is a dimension of God's victory that you will know in your life just by praise alone. There's a dimension of peace that you will know on your heart just by praise alone. Sometimes in our house, I know when my wife is happy because I hear her praise from the basement, no matter where she is in. You know, so it's for me, I know that today will be a good day. Everything's a good thing. But when we begin to learn to praise God, there's a dimension of just God's victory, God's peace, because it's what God loves. It is what God loves. So, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, let us, these things, they are not for the old times. They're for our times. They're for our times also. We as the church, you know, there are many denominations now that believe that the church has to change to be culturally relevant. But what I know is that this God that was the same yesterday, he hasn't changed his methods. He's the same God today and tomorrow. So his word and the way we approach him, it does not change. We cannot say that because we fight battles, now we have to go to ChatGPT, tell me what to do. No, we still have to seek the face of God. We have to read the Bible to know what is the mind of Christ about these things. We have to be patient enough. No matter, and sometimes, brothers and sisters, the answer might not come in a month or 2 months. So, when you begin to seek God, to knowing God, there are times you will tarry long, but when God speaks, you can take it to anywhere that God has spoken. Can we be patient enough in His presence to not rush Him? To knowing what his mind is. It's easy to plan your whole day, pray for 15 minutes, and think that, yes, I'm equipped for the day. But God wants to pull us into a place of intimacy where our prayers are no longer dependent on time. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 2 hours. It could be 10 minutes. It could be an hour and a half. Where it is not about time any longer. It's about, Lord, there is something sweet about your presence that I want to experience. I've read about it, but I want to experience it myself. Is it true that time can just dissolve when somebody is in your presence? You see, when I was a baby Christian, I looked at what I prayed for a lot about was on what I needed God to do for me, what I needed God to buy for me. Those, the bulk of my prayers. As I began to grow more and more, I began to pray for people and ask, Lord, do this in the lives of these people. This person needs healing. Lord, heal them. Now that I'm learning more about this God, do you know what my prayer is? Lord, grant me the petitions that are the prayer that is you want to be prayed. Because you also have desires that you want met, that I may know the desires of your heart and begin to pray them. And it doesn't mean that, look, because you don't pray like that, you are not. No. Each of us, there is a growth. Because as you see God answer you in specific ways, deal with you in particular ways, you will begin to see many more aspects of God unfurled. But you have to have a desire to seek him. And if you see that that desire is not there, you can even ask him for it. Lord, give me the grace. I've heard about your presence. I want to know how to seek you. I don't want your presence to be a chore. I want it to be a delight. You can pray those prayers. And indeed, in God's time, as you desire it, you'll just see that you will look back after weeks or years and you say, Lord, indeed, this prayer you have answered. I love your presence. I love your presence. We've got to recapture the presence of God, because this is where God speaks his heart, speaks his word. That what we could have been chasing for years begins to be something we apprehend in days. This is what we have been praying for. That revival, we can begin to experience more of it in our lives, in the lives of our children, in the society at large. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the whole earth is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. We have to begin to do something such that the world will know that there are still Christians on earth. And the world will never know that except there's that manifestation of the power of God. And it has to start within us. We talk about our nations being evil and this and that happening. Do you know that presidents cannot change except there are prophets in the land? Nothing will happen in government until the children of God begin to take their positions in the household of God. And what is said in the Bible, that if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, if they will turn from their wicked ways, if they will seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. If that doesn't happen, nothing. We might expect the nation to change, but nothing will change. A nation can never change until Christians take their rightful places. There has to be justice in church first, before there can be justice in the nation. So our nations that we are praying for, let it start within us. Let it start within us. Let us seek God and knowing God that way. Then believe me, the battle is his. It's not about placard. It's not about shouting. No, the battle is his. But we have to seek his face. Let us pray. Precious Lord, once again, we give thanks unto you, O Lord. Because your word is true. It is true. What you say, you don't lie. You don't lie. You've never lied. If there's anything that makes it not come to pass, it's because we have failed to do what it takes to apprehend you in that way. Your word told us that Jacob, he wrestled with that angel all night. He did not give up. Father, we confess that we are people of little strength. And we pray, please, Lord, grant us the strength and the wherewithal to be able to tarry and stand before you. Isaiah said, as I stand before God, there'll be neither dew nor rain, because he was a man who could stand before you. And when we're able to stand before you, we can stand before any man. And so, Father, I pray, let these things that we've been talking about not be stories of old in our lives. As we desire to press in and know you more, Lord, help us to come into these experiences with you once again, O God. Father, we thirst for it, we hunger for it, and we pray that even in this, your name will be glorified. We have been praying for our nations, and you've already given us the answer that it's your people who ought to seek your face. It's your people who ought to seek your face. So, Lord, help that our seeking you will not be casual any longer. That truly we will make what should be priority in our lives to giving time to seeking your face. If need be, to depriving ourselves of food to seeking your face. Lord, there is yet a place we haven't experienced yet. And we desire it, O God. We desire it and we pray for it. Let your power rest upon us. Paul said it, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Father, please bring us more into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You've demonstrated your love towards in many, many ways, O Lord. We know that you love us, but we want to know the place of deep intimacy whereby the power of the Holy Spirit we see you, Lord Jesus, glorified. This is the desire of our hearts. This is our prayer this morning, O Lord. You said the battle is yours. And please make us victorious. As you show us these steps and you teach us these steps, may we walk in these steps, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.